In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit. So we know in verse 1 instantly that if a person is walking according to the flesh, they're under condemnation. It's like automatic. And we know if they're walking according to the Spirit, there is no condemnation. So if I run into a person who's under condemnation, what is the first problem? The first problem is they're walking according to the flesh. Now, what does that mean to walk according to the flesh? It means several things. One thing that it means is that you're trying to do the will of God in your own strength, by your own effort. You're attempting to do the law of God, if you will. You're attempting to do the Ten Commandments, if you will, in your own effort, in your own strength, as good as you can do. I'm going to try to do it. Also, when you're walking according to the flesh, you're walking according to what you see, what you feel, what you hear, what you taste, what you smell. You're walking according to your senses. So therefore, what I see must be true, because I see it. If the Word of God says God meets all my need according to His riches and glory, it says that. Word of God says, for the grace of the Lord Jesus, we know the grace of the Lord Jesus, that although He was rich, He became poor for our sakes, that through His poverty, we would be rich. That's what the Word says. I look at my bank account, and it's not reading that. Am I going to go according to the flesh or according to the Spirit? Now, if I am in the flesh and I'm attempting to do everything that I believe God wants me to do, and I'm using the Ten Commandments as that grouping of law, okay? I'm doing that because I'm in the sense realm. Because I'm going by what I see, I'm going by what I feel, I'm going by what I hear, and I'm not going according to the Spirit. They go hand in hand. Now, look at verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, before we can get an understanding of that and how tremendous that is, you must understand something. That a law in this context, not the doing of the law or being justified by the works of the law, but in this context is a principle that always works. And what causes it to work all the time is when there's a condition that meets it. Okay? So we have the law of gravity. Is it working all the time? Yes. But I don't see the law of gravity working right now, do I? Until I meet a condition where I drop this pen. I've seen the law of gravity now come into effect. Okay? However, there's a greater law. It's called the law of lift. So I can get into an airplane, and the law of lift will now come into effect because I've met the conditions of having a wing that's structured properly, and the speed required for this other law to come into effect, and it now makes me free from the law of gravity. So as long as that condition is met, I'm free from the law of gravity. I'm not falling to the ground as long as I'm in this airplane. which is meeting the condition of the law of aerodynamic lift. So one principle has now superseded another principle. But is the law of gravity still in effect even though I'm in the plane? Yes. And the moment that I don't meet that condition, she's coming down. Because the other law takes over. Now, over here it says, in verse 2 of Romans 8, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, I can't get a full understanding of this until I understand two things. What is the law of sin and death? And what is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus? What is that principle? And Paul very eloquently lays it out in chapter 7 and chapter 8, what it is. And he makes it very clear here. He says that the law of sin and death, okay, comes into effect and is in effect as long as I try to perform the law. The moment that I begin to perform the law or to do the law, the moment that I accept, okay, now I need to do the Ten Commandments, the moment that I receive that, okay, and I begin to make that effort to do that, it draws sin out of me. He said, I do the thing that I don't want to do. I do the thing that I hate, no matter how hard I try to do the thing that I want to do. So, the condition for the law of sin and death is that you are in a relationship with God, and everyone is. Whether they believe it or not, know God, whatever it is in this whole earth, they are subject to the law of God. They're subject to the law, the Ten Commandments, with the blessing and the cursing attached. And as long as they perform all of those Ten Commandments, there's blessing. The moment they break one of them, they are subject to the curse of the law. That is the curse that's loose in the earth. That God put it into motion, okay, set forth the law, and the law, the curse of the law is in motion. It is all those things that happen that are bad to anyone who does not do the law of God or the Ten Commandments or all the laws you want to add to that all the time, 24/7, without missing. Now, under New Covenant, we go, well, wait a minute. The Ten Commandments are not valid. I mean, in the sense that, yes, they're valid there, and we really want those there. However, there's the great commandment, the one that Jesus said, the New Testament commandment, the one that says, you shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind, love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law hangs on that. Jesus himself said that. He did, and he also said it was the law. And the same blessing and a cursing is attached to that great commandment as was attached to the Ten Commandments. I've heard it taught. You have too. Well, you understand they took the Ten Commandments and put it in the great commandment here. And the first four include God. And the next four include your neighbor. And the next two include yourself. Oh, it's all wrapped up in a neat package. However, it still has attached to it the same blessing and cursing that you see in the Old Covenant, in Deuteronomy, in Leviticus, in all these other places where it talks about doing all of the law, you're blessed. Not doing all the law or breaking any part of it, you are cursed. And the whole earth is subject to that great commandment. And you have religions around the earth that are in existence today trying to get into relationship, get to God, please God, justify themselves, justify what they do, everything, all kinds of ways trying to get there by doing their laws. I've had some Jewish friends who live in that, in the law, the Torah and that. And boy, when it's coming sunset or whatever it is, and they don't have those things in order, I've seen them totally struck with fear, paralyzing fear, because they hadn't done it yet. And boy, if that sun goes down before then, oh, it's horrifying. That's how much they have decided and believe that portion. Now, what happens? What is the law of sin and death? The moment that I accept that, 1 Corinthians 15:56 says, the strength of sin is the law. Why was Paul so upset with the church of Galatia? Because a group of men had come in from Jerusalem and had convinced them that, yes, Jesus died for you and your salvation. However, you must add to that the doing of the laws, the 613 laws. Still sacrificing bulls and goats. Still keeping the law. Still only wearing one kind of material. Still only whatever all the different things were. Yes, you're saved now, but this is attached to your salvation. Which Paul says is the works of the law. He said, did God do miracles among you and supply the Spirit to you by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Amen? Now, this law stays in existence, doesn't it? All the time. As long as a person decides that I'm going to be good enough, I'm going to put my righteousness before God, my good works, I'm going to let... There are people that have made the decision to live as good as they can and let God judge them. And God will judge them on the basis that they choose. What they haven't understood is you can't do good enough to get a judgment from that where God says, heaven's your home. Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees. What was he saying? The only way is by my righteousness. Amen? So, you see in the world a lot of things. This is what when people start claiming it's the judgment of God. This is happening because of the judgment of God. And God's judging that Christian, and God's judging those people, and God's... No. See, when God judges something, it goes away fast. He judged Sodom and Gomorrah. Gone. He didn't torture people. He doesn't put them through agony. Even in his judgment, there's mercy. Why'd they have to do it? Why did the flood have to happen before Noah? because there wasn't one single person other than Noah that had any good thought in them. Total evil. What's happening is a result of people experiencing the curse attached to not doing all the law. So when a person says, and I have, bless their hearts, I have relatives who grew up in the Catholic Church. I mean, that's as law-giving as you can get. You're not a Catholic, you ain't going to heaven. Period. And a lot of denominations are that way. If you're not that denomination, and they're taught that, and you're walking around thinking, anybody who isn't a Catholic is gone. And all the time, you're wrong. And sadly, you don't know it. However, you get all the rules. They used to have 9 First Fridays. 1 First Friday a month from January to October. If you went to Mass, you were guaranteed heaven. Yeah, I thought, what a deal. Yeah, guaranteed heaven. Could there be anything further from the truth? Yet there were people that believed it and people who did it. Now, if you ate meat on Friday, you're headed for hell. Can't eat meat on Friday. That was the Friday Jesus was crucified. You can't eat meat. Fish is okay. No meat. I'd have half the meal eaten by the time I remembered it was Friday. And guess what? Nothing bad really happened. And then, you know, all of a sudden that got changed. Wasn't anymore. And then there was kind of an uproar, and I was reading comments. And one of the comments was, well, then what about all the people you sent to hell who ate meat on Friday? What about them now? Now it's okay? See, there's the problem with making the laws. There's your problem. It's the judgment of man. And Jesus said, and God says in the Word of God, the moment that I begin to make laws, I become a judge of the law and make myself greater than God. That's not a good place to be. Amen? Now, having said that, what do we want to be free from? This says it's the law of sin and death. The law is there. They're trying to do the law. Sin's coming forth. And what does sin bring forth? Death. Always. The wages of sin is death. That has not changed. Okay? So, the moment that I desire, because Paul says in Galatians, he said, those of you who desire to be under the law, don't you get it? Jesus says in Luke chapter 5, 39th verse, he says, there are people who will not accept the new. They want the old. And he was contrasting old and new covenant. In other words, they don't want the Spirit. They want the law because they think it's easier. You run into people all the time. Just tell me what to do. Just tell me what to do. Rich young ruler. Jesus, tell me what to do to earn eternal life. Because the rich young ruler thought it was easier, and the rich young ruler thought he did all the law. And Jesus didn't say to him, believe on me. He said, you think you did all the law? Let me give you another piece of law. Sell all you got and give it to the poor. And every time that you go to God and you say another law, he will give you one that you haven't done. What must I do? So a person who goes before God and they're putting all that up before God, the way the rich young ruler put it before Jesus. He got to put his finger on another thing. Constantly, Jesus was having to deal with the man-made religion, the Pharisees, the pharisaical attitudes and all that, same as today. Now, the law of the Spirit. Do you understand the law of sin and death? The moment that happens, the curse of the law goes into effect. Now, we're to be made free from that. And also, by the way, you know you're there if you're experiencing condemnation. And let me say a word about condemnation. Priscilla and I were mentioning this, going over this a little bit this week too, in regard to this condemnation, the spirit of condemnation. It's never specific. Condemnation is always just the general guilt. It's just a general yucky feeling. It is the general overall thought or feeling of, I'm not good for anything. Condemnation is being unfit for use. Not even God can do anything with me. I mean, look what I did. Look what I didn't do. I let him down. I let somebody on and on. And it will just keep digging and eating and digging and eating. And you'll go through that self-examination. You need to examine yourself, brother. You need to examine yourself. No. I need to stop looking at me and look at Jesus. The enemy will do anything he can to get you to turn and look inward. And I guarantee you, if I look at myself long enough, 4 or 5 minutes, I'm going to find something wrong. Hello. Golly, I get on the scale, I find something wrong. But I learned something about this, too. It's working. But later, I may write a book on it. Anyway, it is the law of life. Okay? How many are familiar with the verse that says, if I live in the Spirit, now let me get ahead of myself. Look at Romans chapter 8, and let me show you the law of the Spirit of life. The law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. The principle, okay? Verse 8. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Okay, so every effort you make, no matter how hard it is, no matter how you try, no matter what you do, does not please God. I've heard it preached. God would be very pleased if you did the Ten Commandments from the pulpit. A lot of pulpits. Many times. Does the Word say that? No. Does not say that, does it? What does the Word say? What pleases God? What does the Word say? Faith. You cannot please God without faith. Now, it says here, again, so then, those who are of the flesh cannot please God. So no matter how much I'm trying to do the Ten Commandments, or the law, or any law that I've set up, a church law that's set up, any type of law, a law I set up for myself, I'm going to read the Word every day and God's going to really think I'm just something else. You just went under the law. And guess what? It's short order before you don't read it. And then it's short order after that where I'm going to double up tomorrow. Now you're trying to pay for it. And then it's short order after that before the condemnation comes in. And then right after that comes, you're no good for anything. And oh, by the way, there ain't a thing God would do for you, you wretched out thing. Because the devil has now come in behind that and he wants to lop it all and he just throw it on there. And most of all, God couldn't possibly love you. And you know, Jermaine, that is a big lie, don't you? His love came first. And it stays all the time, no matter what. Amen? Now, look at this here. Verse 9. But you're not in the flesh. Say, I'm not in the flesh. I am not in the flesh. Now, is that not good news already? Come on. Why? But in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. How many here have the Spirit of God dwelling in you? Raise your hand.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. What does that mean? I'm in the Spirit. How long am I in the Spirit?
Forever.
24/7, all the time. So when someone comes to you and says, you need to get in the Spirit, brother. They don't know what they're talking about. They come to me and they say, you need to get in the Spirit. You know, you need to pray in the Spirit and all that and sing and this and that and get in the Spirit. Oh, I came in the Spirit. And because I'm in the Spirit, I'm singing. Amen? Because you know it. You know it. You know you're in the Spirit because the Word of God says it. Well, then what is the problem with it? Why do people have so much problem? Let me give you a truth. There isn't anything that God says in His Word about you that will manifest in and through you apart from you saying it. Well, what do you mean saying it? I mean saying it all the time with nothing different, nothing changed. Well, what do you mean nothing? If you believe it, I don't care if they put you in a chair, tie you up, and whip you with a wet rope, you won't change what you're saying because you believe it. Monday mornings are the time where I'm tempted the most to think I'm not in the Spirit. When I get up, I will have times where I feel not even close to being in the Spirit. But you see, I don't go by the flesh. I go by the Spirit. What does Spirit say? See? That's where that doctrine comes from. You're receiving a teaching based on the natural and the flesh. And what they're telling you is you need to sing and praise and all that so that you get into the Spirit. No, 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 no. So that you feel it. Because I don't feel it now, the natural, what people see and feel, they develop a teaching behind that, which is negating that word. And what is it then doing? Once you get into the flesh, what do? You want to do the law. So now, if you don't feel like you're in the Spirit, brother, here's what you do. You do this, this, read the word, do this, do this, do this, do, and you'll feel it. Now you're in the Spirit. Well, what is that? That's doing works to earn the Spirit. And all it is an effort to change what you're feeling or seeing in the natural. Instead of, oh, wait a minute. I may not feel like it, but the Word of God says, I'm in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Say what God says. What God say? You're not in the flesh. But I feel, do not be tempted to say what you feel. Do not be tempted to say what you see. Do not be tempted to say that. Because the moment you begin to say that, you begin to move in the flesh. And guess what cannot please God? And your feelings, what you see, what you hear, and the devil, and all the demons in hell, it coming around will try to cause you to be tempted. And if, okay, if that's not enough, somebody you, a brother or sister in the Lord, someone you're close to, they'll come parading by. Man, you look awful. You okay? You need prayer? Well, now that you mention it, being aware. Amen? Because you don't want to come out of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus no more than you want to step out of that airplane. Because let me tell you something. If you're tempted in that direction, you're stepping out of an airplane. You are going from life to death. And death in the Bible is always separation. That's the definition of death. Adam and Eve died, they got separated from God. You die, you're living forever. The only thing that's happened is spirit and soul is being separated from your body, and you're with the Lord. Paul said, whew, that's a great place. Amen? Separation. Divorce in a marriage is just another word for death. Separation. They separate. So what happens? The law of sin and death. Now, eventually, there's a physical death that happens at some point, but as death begins to work, for example, in someone's finances, that's a process of you being separated from financial blessing. Do you know how many people actually sow and give money based on work of the law? A lot. Trying to convince God that they're good enough. Look at how much I gave. Don't be tempted to go to God and say, I gave all that money, Lord. Because you're stepping out of the airplane. Amen? So how do I stay in that airplane? How do I stay in the spirit of life in Christ Jesus? You function in faith 24/7. And you never step out from it. What do you mean? How can I do that? Well, first, what are you saying when you're tempted to say something else? Jesus never said what he was felt, never said what he felt. Never. He said, every word I speak is from the Father. Amen. He was the Word. He could say nothing else. Amen. All right, now. Verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. I must know, and I must understand at all times that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The moment that righteousness by faith says what it shouldn't say, I'm stepping out of the airplane. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus is my righteousness. He has made me righteous. I'm right before God. I stand before God without a sense of guilt, inferiority, any kind of complex whatsoever, no condemnation. I am welcome in His presence at all times, forever. Amen. Because of what Jesus did. And because I believe it. And what begins to manifest and flow? Life from the Spirit. And every single time that you have an issue in your life and you need that Word, let me give you a hint. Ask the Spirit of God what you should say. What you should do. Don't just pick something out. Because the moment, now listen carefully, the moment you hear from the Spirit of God, and the moment you begin to speak what He has told you, there's life in it. Because life only proceeds from the Spirit. No life proceeds from the soul. Can't. The soul can't produce life. Not the Zoe life of God, not the high quality of life. The soul life is a very low quality, okay, AAA battery. The life of God creates. The life of God, okay? Show you. Watch. Look at the next verse. I'm going to close it with this one. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, hallelujah. Do you know the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead defeated every devil, defeated hell, defeated death, defeated poverty, defeated lack, everything. That same Spirit dwells in you. Yeah. Them's happy words. Look at this, though. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through His Spirit who dwells in you. Come on. The healing's already in you. The life's already in us. In Jude, it says, communicate every good thing that is in you. He's talking about faith. I want to make sure I'm accurate on that scripture. And we're going to, I said we were going to close with that other one. We're going to close with this one. Because it's a good one, along with everything else that's good. Because I said Jude, and I think it was Philemon. I was corrected. Philemon, wherever he is. He is after Titus. He's a one-pager. That would make him before Hebrews and after Titus. Verse 6. I'm going to go back to verse 4, get a running start. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. How does your faith become effective? By sharing with others, including yourself, every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus. Is the Holy Spirit a good thing? Yeah, he is. Amen? The power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in my mortal body and quickens it, King James says. Makes it alive. Gives it life. Now, knowing that, anything that proceeds from the Spirit is alive. You want to speak a live word full of power? Lord, I got a situation here. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? I've done it. It's not only the word of God. I know. I start in and I by Jesus' stripes I was healed. By Jesus' stripes I was healed. By Jesus' stripes I was healed. And you know, you're kind of going along. And I said, Lord, am I saying what I need to say? No. Say this. The blood of Jesus set you free. The blood of Jesus set you free. Now, do I always know why at the time? Not always. But at that point, I'll find out later. I need to know that much now. And so, by Jesus' stripes, I was healed. By Jesus' stripes, fighting off, attempting to be sick, and nothing's really happening to my satisfaction. Now, I've learned since, I don't do that. I check with him first. I don't just pull word out, scripture off the page, because it worked before. And you will hear other people, not just myself, where they'll begin to minister to somebody in a certain way, and the Spirit will tell them, do it this way. Now, God knows all the reasons, but I want to tell you something. Because the Spirit was the source, it's alive and powerful. Now, let me close it by saying this. How important is it to be walking in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus? I'm going to say very. But let me put it to you this way. I'm going to say it's the difference between life and death. I want to be not only in the airplane, I want to be in the shuttle. You know, that one that goes and you're floating. And there's no pull. And I'm so walking in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that even if I step out, I'm still free. Amen. It can't get me. Because I'm going to walk according to the Spirit. Now, next week, we're going to talk more about how to walk according to the Spirit. You can't ever learn enough. Amen?
Amen.
Now, how many of you need to have the Spirit of God tell you what you need to say? I'm going to pray now, and I'm going to ask him to tell you, and he's going to tell you. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
As soon as he tells you, trust me on this, write it down. Don't say, I'll remember it, because it's important. It's so important, you want to get it exactly right.
Is this what we're to say to somebody? Is that what you're praying for?
What situation are you dealing with? It doesn't matter, whatever your need is.
Okay, so need.
Maybe in Jermaine's situation, he needs a job.
Okay.
Maybe he needs some finances.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And the spirit of condemnation is defeated off you, Jermaine, forever. Right now. In the name of Jesus. Can't get back at you. You know the truth, and the truth has set you free. Amen. So whatever it is. No, it's not limited to that. You go home, make a whole list. However, right now, whatever that need might be, okay? And you are going to begin to speak that. It may be something in the Word. Because remember what I told you. Don't forget this. There isn't any truth in the Word of God that will become manifest in and through your life without the saying of it. You understand? Do you understand what I just told you? If you're unwilling to speak it, it will not come to pass in your life. You can look at it, you could admire it, you could wish, but if you want the manifestation of that Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the Holy Spirit that's in you, and you want that manifestation of His life and power quickening your mortal body, that will not occur until you begin to say it. Just like the grace of God. It begins to work and manifest in your life when each and every morning you go, thank you, Lord, for your grace. Your grace goes before me. Your grace goes after me. Your grace is on my right side, my left side. Your grace is always working. Thank you, Lord. It's working right now. Your favor is upon me. If it's ho-hum, blah, 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 nothing. Why? Because it is in faith that you stay in the Spirit. That's Philemon 6 talking about the effectual communication of your faith. It brings your faith into being effectual or working. One morning, I got before the Lord, and he said to me, I said, Lord, I got a couple problems here. And he said to me, it's because you are not putting your faith in operation. And you need to start doing it today. And as soon as he told me that, this was years ago, and I said, I knew what he was talking about. He knew I knew it when he said it. And the moment he said it to me, I knew it was right. That I had not been doing that. Because he taught me before that. And he said to me clearly, nothing of the word of God will be manifest in your life apart from you saying it. Now, you and I've had people come and say, well, that's too simple. Really? You think so? I said, I can tell you something right now. I give you 15 minutes, you'll give it up. The early disciples, they went through beatings. They went through torture. They were martyred. And the reason why is because they wanted them to stop talking. They never had a problem that they had a church service with 3,000 people in it. Stop having those church services. Stop feeding the poor. Stop doing... No. Stop talking in the name of this Jesus. Okay. Well, all right, let me tell you to say this. Okay, say that. Now, I want you to go out into that room with all those people. I want you to tell them. Do you understand what I'm pointing out here? And the reason I'm pointing it out is because ultimately what must occur is that you fill your heart with that truth. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen.
Amen.
Now we're going to pray. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. And we thank you that right now, you are with us. And more than that, we know the truth of your word. And we know that as we speak your words, as we speak what you show us, as you give us the corresponding action to our faith, there is life, and life more abundantly. And right now, you know the situation in each one, and I ask you right now, quicken by your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, show them, tell them, what it is that you would have them to say, to speak to their circumstance, to speak to the situation, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Jot it down when you get it.